B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Tes. We're going to start from the Mishnah right at the top of the Omid. Says the Mishnah, Ein choyshishin, we're not concerned that when a person did bedikas chometz on one side of a room, that shemo girara chulda, maybe a weasel dragged mibayis lebayis, that whilst you were finished checking one part of the home, another part of the home, a weasel came and took chometz from there and brought it into the checked part. Mibayis lebayis, from one home to the next, umimokim lemokim, from one place to the next. De'im kein, if we were concerned about that, michotzer lechotzer, you'd have to be concerned if a weasel brings a chometz from the home in one chotzer to a home in another chotzer. The chatzeres themselves obviously don't need to be checked. We've already learnt about that because the ravens are in the chatzeres. But the homes in the chatzeres need to be checked. Umeir le'ir, there would always be the concern, maybe even if an entire city did bedikas chometz at exactly the same moment and we knew that there was no chometz that could have been taken at that moment from any place to any other place, how about from city to city? Maybe a weasel left one city and brought it to another city. In the davar seif, there's no end if you're going to be concerned about that. So the Mishnah says that since there's in the davar seif, therefore we are not concerned, and we assume that a weasel does not take the chometz from one place to the next. Says the Gemara, Tama deloy chazinon deshokil. It seems that it's only something that if we were to be concerned about it, there would be an issue, and we're not concerned that a weasel will come. But it's not as if we've seen a weasel coming, a chulda, that we see a chulda coming and taking chometz from one place to the next. Ha chazinon deshokil. But it would seem from here that in the event that you see a chulda explicitly coming with some bread in its mouth, and you don't know where it's gone now, over there we are concerned, and you actually have to check the entire area to make sure that there's none of that bread is left over. Uboye bedika, you need to do bedikas chometz. Asks the Gemara of Amai, why? Neima achlosei, why can we not assume that the chulda ate the chometz? You saw the chulda, it brought some chometz, and we assume that the chulda ate the chometz. Why do I need to check the whole house? Maybe there's some remnants of the chometz left around. Miloit nan, did we not learn in the Mishnah? Medurois, the dwellings were akum of the goyim. Tmeim, if a Yisrael wants to buy an apartment or live in an apartment in a home that was previously lived in by a goy, then we have to assume, we'll soon see how long for, but we have to assume that there is tumma buried there. Why? Because with the goyim, we have to suspect that there was a woman there that gave birth to a lifeless, stillborn child, and just buried it. And even though goyim, we know that some halachas of tumah do not apply to goyim, but according to the Rabbanon, they say that even tumas oyel applies. According to Rab Shimon, tumas oyel doesn't apply, but tumas mago or masa does apply. Either way, there's an issue here with the dead, or these stillborns that were born to the goyim, that they've been buried in the house, and if somebody of Israel is going to live there, then there's an issue with it. V'kamo yishe b'modor v'yia modor tzorich b'dika. How long does the goy have to have lived in the home in order for this concern to be valid, that if a Israel moves in afterwards, he actually has to do b'dika and check the entire place to make sure that there was nothing, there's no none of these dead fetuses lying around? Arboim yom, 40 days. Because after 40 days is enough time that a child could have been conceived, and if the child is then born lifeless, as a stillborn, then there is tumma there, and it has to be checked. V'afal pi she'ein le'isha, even if this guy was not married and didn't have a wife, nonetheless, the fear that possibly a lifeless stillborn was left there still exists. The Rishonim discuss why, and therefore, as from 40 days, the Yisrael actually has to do bedika, has to check that there's no tumah around. However, the Mishnah carries on. In a place where this chulda or a chazir, they hang around there, they can reach there. Ein tzarich bedika, you don't need to check, because we assume that even if there was such a stillborn that was born there, that these animals would have already gotten rid of it. So you see clearly that if you have a chulda, we take it for granted that it's going to eat anything that it finds. Here, if we find a chulda that has some chametz in its mouth, why do we need to check the entire house to make sure that there's no remnants of it left? Why don't we assume that he ate it? Answers, there's going to be two answers in the Gemara. The first one is Abzeira, Omer Abzeira, Loikashia, Haba Bosar, Haba Lechem. There's a difference between flesh and bread. Babasar Loi Meshairi. Then these chulda and the chazir, regarding flesh, and these stillborns are flesh, then we take it for granted it doesn't leave over any remnants. Belechem Meshairi, however, with bread, we do not take it for granted that it's going to eat the entire bread. And that's why, even though regarding the stillborns, in the presence of chulda of a chazir, one does not need to check. However, with the case of the chametz, one does have to check. A second answer, Omar Rava. Rava says that even in the event that, in the case of flesh, it would not be clear that the animal has eaten it, there would still be a fundamental difference between the case of the stillborns and the case of the chametz. Why? Hai mai, Bishlei Mahosam says, why are you comparing the two? Over there, in the case of those stillborns, Eimer Hava, Eimer Loi Hava. You don't know if there was a stillborn there or not. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. Vim Tim Tulei Mahava, even in the event that there was, Eimer Ochlosei, then there's a good chance, at least as a Sophic, that is at least on it might be uncertain, it might be a doubt, but at least that it does. There is such a possibility that this animal ate up the stillborn, and therefore there's most chances that there's no tumor lying around now. Aval hocha, in the case of chometz, and we're talking about that you saw the chulda coming with chometz in its mouth, devadai de chazina de shokil, it's absolutely certain that there was chometz here. Miyema de ochrosei, maybe it didn't eat it. So you've got a certain chometz and an uncertain that the chometz was taken away. Have a sofik of vadai. It's an uncertainty versus certainty. Vein sofik moitzim de vadai. A doubt cannot remove an issue which was there for certain. So in the case of the tumah, there was no tumah there for certain, and therefore we can be lenient and say that even if there was tumah, that means maybe there was tumah. If there was tumah, maybe the animal ate it. However, over here, where it's vadai there was chometz, we cannot rely on the maybe that the animal ate it to remove our chiv of bedika. Asks the Gemara, Ve'ein sofik moitzi midei vadai? Is you really have such a rule that if you have an issue which is a certainty, and you have a doubt as to whether it was resolved, that ein sofik moitzi midei vadai, and you still have to be concerned? Well, Tanya, this seems to contradict a braisa. We learnt in a braisa, chover, which is a person that is very particular that food that he has in his possession is fit for eating and is not lying around food which is also to eat due to the lack of trumas and maestras having been taken. So chover shemes, if you have such a person who is very particular and he died, v'iniach megoyro meleo peiris, he left a storehouse full of fruit, full of produce. Even if it's clear to us that the very day that he died was the day it was harvested, we can assume and take it for granted that he's taken trumas and maestras on it. That's what it says in the Braisa. Asks the Gemara, in this case, these fruits, they were definitely tevel. Tevel is a state before trumas and maestras have been taken. So all fruits, we'll soon see, but we're taking it for granted that all fruits are in a tevel state. And that's certain. V'sofik mu'usorin, v'sofik lo mu'usorin. You don't know that this chover took the maestras. You assume he took the maestras. You hope he took the maestras. Well, it's a good guess, and it's probable, but it's not more than a sofik. It's uncertain. So how can the uncertain fact that he took maestras override the certain fact that it was tevel? So you see in this braisa that the sofik, that the chover took maestras, overrides the vadai tevel. Answers the Gemara, no. And here the Gemara is also going to have two answers. One answer is that it's vadai and vadai, and the second answer is going to be it's sofik and sofik. Hosam vadai u vadaihu. It's vadai tevel, but it's also vadai is certain that the trumas were taken, the trumas and the maestras. Devadai maestrinon. we take it for granted. It's not just probable and in most likely case that a chavar takes maisrus. No, it's to be taken for granted on an absolute certain level that chavar does not leave his produce before making it fit to be eaten. Chazaka, there's a presumption on an absolute level. Al chavar, on for this chavar she'ein moitzi mitachas yodoi, he does not release from his hands. Dover she'ein imasukun, something that's not fixed, something that's not edible. That would be one way of getting out of it. That over there it's vadai and vadai, so you cannot bring proof to our case of sofik and vadai. V'boy same, another explanation could be sofik v'sofiku. In the case of that brisa, with the fruits, the only reason that you're allowed to rely on the roiv, on the sofik, that he took maishas, is because it's only a sofik if it was tevel in the first place. Dilma me'ikora eimer, maybe we should say that initially, deloy tevili, they were not tevel. How can fruits not be tevel? If you see they've been harvested, they're in his home, how can they not be tevel? Kedur kurabayishya. Domer Abayishya, Ma'arim Odom, it's possible for a person to be crafty and he can al tvuoso on his grain, u'machnisa b'moitz shelo, he can bring it into his home whilst the grain is still in its chaff, k'dei she'tei behemto icheles, he brings it in order for his animal to be able to eat it, because a person is not allowed to eat chumas, he's not allowed to eat any produce, fruits and vegetables that have not been taken, chumas and maishas, even before it's got the biblical tevel state. However, uptura mina maisa, and in that case, it'll be potter from maisa. What's going on here? There's a halacha, that min ha-teira, grain will only become tevel min ha-teira, if you've brought it into the house, through the regular front door, roya pnei abayis, not through the roof or some skylight. You brought it into your home through the regular door, and before you brought it into the home, it was gemar melacha. The harvesting was completed, which means it's been thrashed, it's been piled, and it's all in the home now, and then it's tevel. Before then, it's not tevel, and one's allowed to actually eat it, aray, if it's a temporary type of eating, or give it to one's animal, because all animals eating is considered temporary. So if this person, he wants to be crafty, and he doesn't want to take maishas, so what's he going to do? He's going to bring it into the home before the gemara melacha, before he's finished harvesting. He's going to bring it in when it's still in the chaff. He's going to thrash it after it's already inside the house. And since it only becomes tevel, where if it's been thrashed and it's totally finished the whole melacha, and then comes into the house, this person brought it into the house before, so min ha-teira, it's not called tevel. So this tvua, it's a sofik if it's tevil. You don't know whether it was brought into the house in its shaf or not. And since it's only a sofik if it's tevil, we can rely on the fact that in the event that it is tevil, the chavar took chumas and maisus from it. But either way, this brisa of the chavar, the shameis, v'niach megoiro shel mleo peiris, is either sofik and sofik, or vadai and vadai. But it's not sofik moitzi midei vadai, so you don't have proof from there against what we said before, that ein sofik moitzi midei vadai. So the Gemara is going to now try and ask a question from another source. Ve'ein sofik moitzi midei vadai, v'otanya we learnt in another braisa. Omer Reb Yehuda, ma'isa b'shifchosoi, there was this story with a slave woman, shel meitzik echod, a Jewish oppressor, b'rimoin, in a place called Rimoin, shehitilo nefel leboir, where she obviously, she gave birth to she miscarried a stillborn, and she threw it into a pit. Uba, and she wanted to know what's her status. Is what's going on here? There's different halachas, if it's a boy, if it's a girl, and we'll soon see that it has to be determined whether it's a fetus at all, maybe it's just a sack full of air, that has to be determined. Uba kain, some kohen, a relative of hers, or some kohen came, v'hitzitz, and glanced, boy, into this pit, leida, to determine, im zacharu, im nekevahi, if this stillborn was a male or a female. Uba ma'isel lifnei chachomim, they came to the chachomim to ask, is this kohen tome or not? Because we know that in the event that it's a fetus that has the status of a human being, and it's tome now, it's dead, and the kohen leaned over it, he was mahil, he leaned over a corpse of a Jewish person. He's going to be Tommy. So the question was, is this Kohen who was Hitzitz, who leaned over this pit and, you know, glanced into the pit to see what the status of the fetus was, is he Tomei or not? V'tiaru, and they said he was Tohir. Why? Mipnei shechuldo or bardalus mitzuyin sham. Either chuldo, which is the weasel, or bardalus, another type of animal, some say it's from the weasel family, mitzuyin sham, since they are there, and therefore there's a good chance that the time that the Kohen came to look into the pit, this fetus wasn't even there anymore, this bardalus and chuldo had dragged it away into their hole, and the hole of the chuldo and bardalus is usually more than a tefach high, which means that if the corpse, if this fetus was dragged into this hole, there's no longer an issue with the Kohen. Ask the Gemara v'ahacha. We're talking about a case where it was certain that she miscarried and that there was a lifeless, there was a corpse in this pit. But Sofik, it's only a Sofik if Goruruhu, Sofik le Goruruhu. It's a doubt whether these animals dragged the fetus away or not. Hahi Shaita, by the time that the Kohen came and leaned over the pit. Uka'osi Sofik, you're saying that the Sofik that the animals dragged away, this fetus overrides the certain state that there was a fetus there to the extent that the Kohen is Tohir. So you see that Safik is Moitzi Midei Vadai. Answers the Gemara, Lo Yitema Shehitilo Nefel Leboir. No. Don't take it for granted that there was definitely a Tomei fetus there. No. Maybe it wasn't a stillborn. Or it was a type of a stillborn, but maybe it wasn't a human being. Eloema Shehipilo Kamin Nefel Leboir. She miscarried something that resembled a stillborn into this pit. We have a Sofik with Sofik, and then it's a Sofik and a Sofik. Maybe it was a Nephil, maybe it wasn't a Nephil. If it was a Nephil, maybe the animals had dragged it away by then, maybe not. We assume that the animals dragged it away and the Kohen is Tahir. Asks the Gemara, how can you say it was a Sofik? But look in the Braisa, it says explicitly, V'harleida im Zocharu. In the Keva, it says explicitly in the Braisa that the reason the Kohen came was to determine whether it was a Zohar or a Nekeva, whether it was a male or a female. And you can only determine if something's a male or a female if you take it for granted that it was a human fetus. Answers the Gemara, Hachik Omer. This is what the Braisa means, that the Kohen came later to ascertain, to determine im ruach epila, if it was a sack filled with air that she miscarried, im nefel epila, or if she miscarried a stillborn child. Ve'im tim toloima nefel epila, if the Kohen sees that it was a nefel, then later we need to determine im zacharu im nekevai. But even though the Braisa uses the words im zachar im nekevai, that doesn't mean we took it for granted. It was definitely a proper human fetus, and therefore, it's a Sofik and a Sofik, and therefore, we can say that the Sofik, that the animals dragged it away, overrides the Sofik that maybe it was a human fetus, and the Kohen is Tohir. V'i bois ema. Another way to get around it is that Hosom Vadai or Vadaihu. It's true, let's assume it was definitely a human fetus, and therefore it was definitely Tomei had it still been there. However, regarding the animals dragging it away, we assume it definitely took it away, not maybe. It's a presumption we can make. Kivan shechuldo bardalus mutsuyin sham, vadai goruruhu bayishaita, we take it for granted that it definitely dragged away this fetus by the time the Kohen came there. And even though we saw before regarding chomets, that it's not clear that the animal's dragging it away to its hole somewhere away, and it's also not clear that he didn't leave over some remnants. So the Gemara says, Nehid the Shiura Meshaira, even though we saw before that the animals don't eat, we saw before maybe with flesh that they do, maybe not. We saw that in the Gemara Nomad Aleph. But even in the event that it could be that they leave over some when they eat it, when they eat the flesh, they leave some over. However, Migra Mias Vadai Gorum Baishaita, we can definitely assume they've dragged it away to their hole. Whether they've eaten the whole thing or not doesn't really matter to us anymore. Another version, Nishnachrina, Nihi Devadai Ochlum, Loyom Rinon. Even though, as we saw before, we don't say that they definitely ate up the whole flesh. However, Vadai Goru Lechurayu Omrinon, but we do take it for granted that they definitely dragged it away to their burrows. Continues the Gemara. Umi amrinon ein choyshishin shemo girer achulda. We saw in our Mishnah that we're not concerned, we're not worried that a chulda is going to take chametz from one place to the next. Asks the Gemara, is that true? V'oktani sefer, look at the end of the Mishnah, which is actually in the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis in the next Daf, where it says there in the Mishnah, after bedikas chometz, any chometz that you have left over, make sure you hide it well. If you do not hide it well, you don't know then if a weasel came and took some chometz, and you're going to have to do bedikas chometz again. So you see clearly, we are concerned that a chulda is going to come and take some of the chometz from one place to the next after you've done bedikas chometz. Omar Abaya answered, lo ikashya, it's not a contradiction. On the 13th of Nisan, there we're not concerned about, we're not worried about the chulda taking the chometz. On the 14th, we are. On the 13th of Nisan, the shchiach rifta bekulabati, there's lots of bread in all the homes. Loi mitzna, the weasel will find some bread, and even if he finds it, the chulda will eat it and leave nothing over, and that's okay. However, on the 14th of Nisan, where there's not a lot of bread in the homes because everybody's done bedikas chometz, the chometz is all out, it's only going to be late at night that they're going to start baking matzah and having matzah around. But the whole day of the 14th, this chulda is not going to have any food around, and therefore mitznai. We're worried that the chulda is going to take some chometz and hide some away for later. He doesn't know when he's going to get his next bread. And then that's what the Mishnah says on Amud Beis. On Daf Yud, he's going to have to do Bedikas Chometz again, because maybe, since it's talking about after Bedikas Chometz, on the day of the 14th, and you're going to have to do Bedikas Chometz, maybe the chulda came, took some chometz, and hid it away someplace. Omar Rava argued against Abaya. V'chivu chulda nevi'ahi? You're telling me that a weasel has nevuah, is a prophetess or a prophet that knows exactly today is the 13th and there's plenty bread, tomorrow the next day is the 14th, today there's not going to be any bread and there's only going to be bread, matzah, baked later tonight. The chulda doesn't know all that. That the chulda knows that today is the 14th of Nisan, and they're not going to bake adla urta till the evening, and that's going to make the chulda keep over some of the chometz and hide it away, and that's why they have to check. That can't be a good explanation. Elo Omar Rava. Rava's got a different explanation. Masha Meshayri Anichena Betzina. The reason what it says at the end of the Mishnah, that means the Mishnah at the beginning on Daf Tes Amud Aleph that we learned today at the beginning of the Shir, Ein Choshishin, as we've learned before, is when we don't see the chulda having chometz in its mouth, we're not afraid because we're just not afraid, and we don't have any reason to say, wow, we know that there's a chulda taken chometz, where's it left the chometz? However, the end of the Mishnah, the Yud Amud Beis, is talking about that we're afraid that if you leave the chometz around, you're going to see the chulda taking the chometz. Once you see the chulda taking the chometz, then it's already a vaday. And as we saw in the Gemara before, ein safik moitzi midei vaday, you don't know if it ate it all up. And if you know bevadai that it was walking around with chometz, you have to go searching to see that there's no remnants of chometz left. Maybe the chulda will take it in front of us, and then you're going to have to check to undo the vadai chometz lying around. Tanya Kava said, Rava, there's a brisa saying similar to what Rava said. If somebody wants to eat chometz after bedikas chometz, ketzad yaseh, what should he do? Masha meshayer, whatever he leaves over, yanichenu betzino, he should hide it away in a safe place. Shelo tova chulda, in order that the chulda shouldn't come. V'titoil befaneinu, and take the chometz in front of us. And if he takes it in front of us, v'yitzarech bedikah achrav, you're going to have to search the whole house to make sure there's no leftover chometz. That was Rava's explanation. A third explanation, Rav Mori Omar, Gezeira Shemo Yaniach Eser V'Yimtza Teisha. The Mishnah says at the end, on the Yud Amud Beis, what we're talking about is that maybe it's similar to Rava's answer, that the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph at the beginning is you don't know, you have no reason to believe that there was a chulda who's taking chometz from place to place. It's a suffix, you don't need to worry about it. However, the Mishnah at the end on Daf Yud Amud Beis is talking about that you know there's something missing. According to Rava, you don't necessarily know from the package that something's missing. You just see the chulda with chametz in its mouth, so you can see it. And according to this answer of Mori, he says, even if you don't see the chulda, but if you know on an absolute 100% level that you had 10 pieces of bread in that bag, and now there's only 9, so you know that one of them have gone missing. So if you hide it well, nothing will go missing. But if you don't hide it well, something's going to go missing. And if a piece goes missing, you have no choice. You have to search the whole house till you find it, or till you know that it's not anywhere in the house. And that's the third explanation to explain the seeming contradiction in the Mishnayos. And even though we're still a third of the way from the bottom of the Amud, this is the beginning of a new sugya with a whole lots of halachas, similar halachas, and we're going to learn this in the next shir in Mirtzah Hashem.